Hello, my hearty, Mikey. Tēnei hōtaka. Welcome to the panel on RNZ National. Wallace here. Wallace Chapman here. Kia mau tono mai, koutou katoa. Coming up on the program today, the biggest shift in industrial relations since the early 1990s. Fair pay agreements. Giving Kiwis a fair go, or is it back to the 70s? What does it all mean? Also this afternoon, medical workloads are so bad, thousands of doctors across the country are severely burnt out. This in a new report released today. Also on a Friday panel, a study reports that smaller dogs have higher odds of behaving aggressively than large and medium-sized ones. Is there any surprise to you? Are you an owner of a small dog? Let us know. Text us 2101. Plus, they are proposing charging for out-of-towners at the best civic gardens in the country. Might be controversial to say that, but they are the extraordinary Hamilton Gardens, which has around 1 million visitors a year. With me this afternoon, Rowani Pereira, journalist for The Hui. Tēnā koe, Rowani.
Tēnā koe.
Welcome to the program.
Hi, yay, Friday.
Friday. Yes, thank you. And also Dean Hall, video game designer and CEO of Rocketworks. Kia ora, Dean.
Hello.
Have you been to the Hamilton Gardens?
No, I haven't, but I'm very envious of other people's Instagram photos.
Yes.
Of the big giant door that makes you little, and the Italian gardens.
Italian gardens.
I don't know if I'll pay $10.
Well, we talk about that. Yeah. Do you see what it put you off? That's a good question. Will $10 put you off these extraordinary, extraordinary gardens? Let's start with the Friday mailbag. We had a large response across the week of many things, but Robert Kelly did a story of the day on sleeping arrangements, and I put my foot in it by saying that how could it ever work having a separate sleeping bed arrangement? And we've got a lot of response saying they do work. Wallace, I know, Demelza says, I know a couple in their 30s who sleep apart after their second child was born a few years ago. It was a restless baby for a long time. He has to travel a long way for work each day, and it does make sense. Leslie in the Waikato says, I've been married 56 years. When one has a cold, the other sleeps in another room to avoid infection. Husband often watches the Europe cycle races at 2 a.m. and sleeps in the other room to not wake me. Thoughtful of him. What is so odd? To me, it's just sensible, especially to avoid infection. He doesn't snore. And another one here. After the giant bed, we moved happily to separate rooms. We thrive. Completely different sleeping patterns. We both enjoy our own rooms. It's the first time in my life I have my own room. And guess what? I love it. And we have the best relationship. We're very close.
I think it's absolutely fine.
Do
I don't think it's a slight on a relationship.
Oh, you
or
don't?
If it's going to like ruin your marriage, I think it's practicalities sometimes.
Yeah,
you know. And if you've got a snorer, there's nothing worse than that.
Yes.
If you're a restless sleeper, if you're an insomniac, who wants to sleep next to that? I'd rather be, you know, meet you at breakfast, you know, in the morning.
Yes.
Meet you in the kitchen.
Dean? You know?
Oh, I think every relationship's different. I'm not sure I'm fully qualified being single for quite a while, but yeah, you know, I think every relationship's different and people can figure it out. I certainly value my sleep, like
you do?
Moving around, pulling the duvet everywhere, so, you know, that's important to me.
So you have one of these massive beds.
You can sleep and you just in the middle, starfish.
And I'm all over it, yeah.
Starfish.
You're living the dream, Dean.
So thank you for that. I was quite surprised at the amount of response we got about separate beds there. And appreciate it. Now, we also talked about teacher training issues and the quality of teachers. And we got this, a bit of a long email. I want to read it out, though. Yesterday, I listened to the discussion on teacher training with great interest. I have chosen teaching as a second career. I did the one-year diploma in teaching last year. At the end of that year, I was an expert in writing theoretical essays, but not much else. I thought that university would give me the skills to feel confident about how to teach reading, writing, maths. It didn't. We had just one lecture that covered how to teach children to read, with no practical application and no links to best practice. I struggled to figure out how and when to teach math strategies. We didn't have a single session on how to deal with neurodiversity or disabilities in the classroom. We spent a lot of time on cultural awareness, inquiry, equality, teaching philosophies, etc. This is all really important stuff, but I feel it was at the expense of what I felt I needed most, which was the ability to step into a class armed with the practical tools to be a confident teacher. Quite frankly, I think people would be shocked if they knew what isn't covered in these courses. It's simply not good enough for our children, and it's not good enough for our teachers. I know of several recent grads who are already nearing burnout as they are overwhelmed. The average lifespan of a teacher is only 4 years. I can see now why. Do keep this anonymous, as despite of all this, I'm about to take the plunge and enter the profession. Wish me and the children luck.
Oh, tēnā pai. That's so awesome that you're still continuing on. Yeah. I totally get that. You know, friends of mine have just recently actually, does anyone know anyone who can teach maths? Of like, you know, we're talking about maybe intermediate school children, and we're all like, I mean, back journalists, like, all don't pick me. But the way of teaching is so different to when, like, times tables and everything. And I mean, I grew up in the Stone Age, so obviously it's changed a long time. But so I agree.
You can kind of relate a little bit.
I can totally relate. Even at journalism school, you know, you look at, say, court reporting, right? So yes. I was like, oh, this is good. This is something that we're going to need. This is something really important. We can get sued. It's very important. It was just skimmed over. And, you know, and that's something that you'd think, you know, but yeah, we spent a week on a marae, say, so cultural awareness, all of that. But I think.
Also important.
Important. But court reporting, you know, the tools of the trade, if you like, and just as important. So I think it's, yeah, I can totally relate to that.
Well, if you are listening to this, all the best in your profession as a teacher. Yeah. Well done. All right, Dean, response to that?
Look, I wouldn't be where I am today if two of my teachers didn't take very specific, almost out-of-curricular interest in fostering my interest with computers. Alan Cordwell was a teacher of mine. He actually tragically died. I remember going to look it up, and he had a very tragic story. So, you know, I think of his kids, you know, are out there because I think they ended up hearing my story. So, you know, I think about that, and I think about him a lot. And Alan Jackson was another teacher of mine, a computer studies teacher, and they went way out of their way. And I was a little disruptive as a kid, actually. Let's be honest here.
So what was it about them that really was able to pull you in and give you some structure?
Well, Alan Cordwell, I was in the, I don't know the politically correct term, but the lowest maths class, and he really pulled me out and encouraged me, showed me how important maths was for computers. And it took me a long time to realise how important that was, and he just really went out of his way, even though he was head of department. And I think about that a lot, actually.
And that kind of thing you don't teach, do you?
Yeah, I wish I could ask him. I was very sad when I found out he died before, you know, I'm quite young, and quite tragically. He had a really tragic life. I'd hope to go back and, you know, say something to him, and it just made me really think about that.
Yeah, because there's something quite nice about going back to your the teacher that did inspire you, Rowani, many, many years later, and go, thank you.
Absolutely. And again, that reminds me of in Kawerau growing up, primary school, Robert Heruini, who I think is still there. But, you know, he used to take us out and we used to go play t-ball every Friday afternoon, like literally for the whole afternoon. And we learnt more like doing that, playing that game, than we did in the class the whole week. And that was his way. We thought it was just all, there's just fun times, but actually there was a purpose to it. And teaching like that is just, you can't even learn that stuff.
Now, we also talked yesterday about DVDs and Blu-ray and the warehouse to stop stocking them. We got quite a surprising number of responses about people who actually did really still enjoy the DVD. Maggie in the Waikato says, I have a DVD collection. I have no intention of getting rid of it. Once I dabbled in having an online collection, but when I moved back to the UK a few years back, I lost everything I had bought digitally because I wasn't going to be a paying member of that subscription service in that country. I'll stream stuff, but if I like it, I will buy it. And Philip says, this is for Wallace. It was great to hear the panel yesterday mention my parents' store, Videon. And praised it so. You know Videon?
I love Videon.
I was a teenager when they started it in 1991. I think the third video library to open in Auckland, and those days, beta only, I recall that The Deer Hunter was the first video on our shelves.
Wow.
What an extraordinary period of time to be involved in that industry. The battle between beta and VHS, the film and video rating laws, the Privacy Act, Laserdiscs, then DVD, Blu-ray. Through it all, we remained independent, alternative, and fiercely proud of what we were achieving. What incredible, loyal customers and staff, people that helped make it what it was, and many who are still in contact today. So glad that others saw it more than just a shop.
Oh my goodness, that place is insane. You can go in, you could literally spend an hour there just
talking. Not around
talking.
Anymore, I don't think.
No, not around anymore. Yes, it's on Dominion Road there in Auckland, and you could literally go and just talk movies. They knew scenes, they knew directors,
they
knew everything about it, and just, oh, I always wanted them on our pub quiz team because I thought
good.
You guys would
That's
be amazing.
Technical. I like
yeah,
that.
Yeah.
And every city will have. Wellington has a couple of shops like this as well.
They would.
Canterbury,
they would.
Dunedin. All right, it is time for I've Been Thinking. Rowani Pereira, would you like to start?
Look, a lot has been said. Obviously, it's exploded on Twitter. But I thought about doing something fun today because it's Friday. But then I've just heard too many stories of, friends and colleagues and friends of friends who are just, you know, doctors, nurses, policemen, who about the whole pay freeze for public servants that was just announced. And you know, I don't know where it's coming from. I don't know who advised. I don't know how it was formulated, but it just seems absolutely nonsensical. So the story that I heard this afternoon was from a friend who works at the Bruce Mason, the Mason Centre, and deals with mental health illnesses. Such a tough job, such a pivotal job. And, you know, you would call them liberal-leaning people, I would say, who were more favourable to a left-wing government, who I just like feel really abandoned, really, that teacher that just wrote in, they are affected, you know, and it got us thinking the other day about, okay, so you think about other Crown entities, the heads of, AUT, say, the remuneration package for the head of AUT, $545,000, the head of Accident Compensation Corporation, $841,000 per annum. Countless examples. NZ Qualifications Authority, $465,000 a year. You think about all those, and yet they're targeting the small fry and the people that are so essential. And yet, fat cats at the other end of the scale, what's happening with their pay? It just seems really nonsensical, and it's hitting the wrong people.
Kia ora, Rowani. All right, Dean, time for I've Been Thinking for you, Dean Hall.
Yeah, I did. I picked an upbeat one. Tough to follow
Good.
That. I certainly
Good.
Agree. And I also hope people don't forget about the armed forces. They're not allowed to unionise and they're not allowed to say anything. So that means you don't actually
Good
get
point.
A voice from the armed forces. But my I've Been Thinking, there was a RNZ article, it would have been last week, about Kiwis need to exercise more. And what I thought was how important it is that we encourage each other to get up and, you know, even if it's just going to the garden. And I really think that there's this a lot of negativity around, I didn't go to the gym today, I didn't do this. And so my challenge to the listeners out there is to encourage each other. You know, when you see someone go up and walk to the shops or go out and enjoy a, like, cool, crisp morning,
High
encourage
five.
Each other.
Yeah.
And, yeah, you know.
Yeah,
it's
very
a nice
good.
Friday. It's a nice Friday afternoon sentiment. Ryan.
That's a lot more upbeat. Look, I know what it's like in winter. So, you know, last night I left work. It was well after, you know, it was almost
six. Yep.
It's dark, no, but I did it, Dean.
Good on you.
You know,
well,
I drove in today, but I did that yesterday. And, you know, you just feel so much better. Yes, it's dark, but it's still really nice
awesome.
Out there.
Mm. Yeah. I think that's awesome. And
thank
the answer,
you.
We got
to And
like,
I think we need to celebrate,
that.
Yeah.
Good on you. Very nice. Someone says, as a doctor, I'm very happy to take a pay freeze in exchange for a government who managed COVID so well that I haven't had to deal with it in my hospital. What do you think?
100%, right?
Well, I think that's the problem with looking individually, right? And I think that's the point, you know. Some people are maybe okay and are happy to make that sacrifice, but does it make sense to do a blanket thing? I think maybe that's the issue that people
And
have.
I think what they were trying to do was raise the level for those lower wage earners, but it's kind of not worked out that way. Looking forward to the tweaks.
Yes, indeed. Dear Wallace, I have a Jack Russell Terrier in my family. He's not to be messed with. When he looks in the mirror, he sees a wolf looking back.
Wow. We think a few people
you're
like that.
You're on the panel, RNZ National, 4 to 5. Stay with us.